First Chronicles chapter 13 verses 1 through 4 and then 7 through 14. And then chapter 15 verses 1 through 3 and then 12 through 15. Let us hear God's word. First Chronicles chapter 13. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our brothers throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pastures, pasture lands, to come and join us. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." The whole assembly agreed to this because it seemed right to all the people. And then going down verses 7 through 14. They moved the ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart, with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs and with harps and lyres and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand on the ark, and so he died before God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day and asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of God to me?" He did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. And then chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. After David had constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever." David assembled all Israel in Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to the place that he had prepared for it. And then verses 12 through 15. He said to them, "You are the heads of the Levitical families. You and your fellow Levites are to consecrate yourselves and bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against it. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way." So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders, as Moses had commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you now asking that in your mercies and goodness to us, that you would provide us with the bread of heaven, that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. When my oldest nephew was about 2 years old, his mom was in the kitchen cooking, and the eyes on the stove were turned on and they were hot. And my nephew said, "Mom, what you doing?" "Well, I'm cooking." And he started to reach his hand up to touch the stove. And she said, "Don't touch that. If you touch that, it's going to hurt. It's going to burn you." Well, he thought he would tease his mom. So he would reach up like this, and she'd say, "Don't touch that." He'd giggle and reach his hand up again, "Don't touch that." And this went on, you know, for a little while. And finally she said, "Well, if you touch it, it's going to burn you and it's going to hurt." He reached up, put his hand on the stove, and that's the last time he ever did that. We have a similar story in the scriptures of someone touching something that they weren't supposed to touch. Our study of the first commandment has led us to see that we are to only worship the God of the Bible. We shall have no other gods before him. But worshiping the right God is not enough. We must worship the right God in the right way. We are to worship the true God in the true way, the spiritual God in the spiritual way. Last week we saw that to worship God according to our own whims and imaginations, it's a very dangerous thing. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire before the Lord, and the fire of God came out and devoured them. The lesson was that God insists that we must hallow his name. We must have regard for his holiness. And time again, the scriptures remind us of such a fact because it is our tendency to forget. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we are given another reminder of this important thing. One of the first things that King David did when he became king over Israel, he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. He wanted to make the city of Jerusalem the center of worship. And by bringing the representative of God, the Ark of the Covenant, to Jerusalem, David had in mind that his kingdom and the kingdom of God would become one. And so they began to bring the ark to Jerusalem, and there was a great worship service. In verse 5, when we read that David assembled all the Israelites, the Hebrew word for assembled is often used here in Chronicles to designate a gathering of worship. In the New Testament, the word would be ecclesia, which means the assembly. It means the church. So David was calling the church from all parts of Israel to come and worship because they're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. It was an exciting time. By bringing the ark into Jerusalem, David was saying that Yahweh's presence and David's presence are like one and the same. That David rules in king, he rules as king in God's kingdom. It also was understood that Yahweh's presence could no longer be outside of Jerusalem, but had to be brought in, because the central focus from Genesis to Revelation is that God is preparing a people for himself, a people that will live with him and he with them, that God would be in the presence of his people. And so David was going to make that a reality. The worship of Yahweh as ruling king, the worship of Yahweh as the priest, the worship of Yahweh as the prophet was at the heart of Israel's life. Oh, what great wisdom David displayed, and what great wisdom anyone would display when you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. But something went wrong. Something went sadly wrong. The ark was traveling on a cart being pulled by oxen, and Uzzah was standing there next to the cart. Now, by the fact that Uzzah was there by the cart, said something about Uzzah. It said that he was a well-respected man because that position to be next to the ark was not just given to anybody, but it was someone who David respected, someone who David could trust. And he was put next to the cart. But something happens. The oxen stumble. The cart tilts. The ark starts to slide. And Uzzah puts his hand up to steady the ark so it doesn't fall in the mud. And then it happened. It might have taken a moment for everyone to realize what had happened. Little by little, the singing stopped. The dancing stopped. The music stopped. And all eyes looked down at Uzzah. He was dead. God had killed him. Verse 10, the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand on the ark. So he died that day before God. Now the text doesn't say that he acted with evil intent. More than likely, it was a natural reaction. You're standing there, the oxen stumble, the ark begins to slide off. All of us would have probably done the very same thing. Put your hand up because you don't want the representative of God's presence to fall in the mud and all the manure. No, we would have all put our hand up. It was just a natural reaction, probably. Uzzah, giving him the benefit of the doubt, was probably just trying to help. Yet what we call trying to help, or what we call good intentions, the Bible calls it an irreverent act. Why? What's going on here? Well, what is going on is that God is holy, and he is to be considered as holy among his people. As God told Moses, when Nadab and Abihu were struck down for offering strange fire, among those who approach me, I will show myself holy in the sight of all the people. I will be honored. You see, God had given explicit instructions on who was to transport the ark and the way the ark was to be transported. Only the Levites, the priests, were supposed to transport the ark. And they were to take the poles and put these poles all the way through the golden rings and then lift the poles so that they could transport the ark. Even the Levites were not supposed to touch the ark, but they were to transport it, and to transport it in the way that God had said it is to be done. Well, King David and Uzzah, they had ignored God's directions as to what is to be done. Just like my nephew ignored his mother's warnings and got burnt, Uzzah ignored God's warnings and he got burnt. For by David having the ark transported in the way that it was, and Uzzah touching the ark, both David and Uzzah showed disrespect for God's holiness. They did not honor his name. They broke the second commandment. They did not walk by God's word, but instead, by their own imaginations, they decided how God was to be worshipped. You know what a herpetologist is? A herpetologist is a scientist who studies snakes. And when the herpetologist has his students around him and they pull out a cobra or a rattlesnake, a snake that's very dangerous, the herpetologist has already taught his students how to handle the snake, what to do, what not to do. The herpetologist does that because he has a concern for his students. God told the Levites, God told David, God told Uzzah, because he cared for them. This is the way the ark is to be treated. God had given instructions on how the ark was to be transported. His kindness and mercy was all written all over the ark, because God didn't leave it up to them to determine how it is to be done. God explicitly told them, you do it in this way and you will be safe. Yet his word was neglected, it was ignored, and the holiness of God will not be defiled. David's failure, Uzzah's failure, it was a failure in keeping the second commandment. Notice that if the ark had slid off into the mud would not have defiled the ark. If there was manure on the ground from the oxen and the horses, and it had gotten on the ark, it would not have defiled the ark. What defiled the ark was the touch of a sinful man. And God corrected that very quickly. King David and Uzzah, they had substituted God's revelation of himself, how he is to be treated, for David and Uzzah's own imagination on what to do. And once that substitution had taken place, once they had decided that we're not going to adhere to the character of God, but we're going to adhere to the character of God that we've made up, then it was a short step to practical living. We're not going to honor the holiness of God. We're going to recreate God in our image. And that God then can allow us to touch the ark. You see how bad theology produces bad practical living? But God gives us in his word how he is to be approached, how he is to be worshipped. As God had previously gone to war against David's enemies, now God is destroying David's friends, but all for the same reason. The nations outside Israel did not honor the God of Israel, and so they were destroyed. But even those within Israel who did not honor the name of God, they too are now destroyed. Basically, it comes down to this. You cannot live as you please and expect to remain safe. Let me say it again. You cannot live as you please and expect to remain safe, because God will not let his holiness be defiled. You must follow God's word. You must do as he says. But that's not the end of the story. God soon made it plain that his severe deed, his punishment for sin, was not the last word. Verse 14. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed his household and everything he did. What is implied here is that Obed-Edom reverenced the name of God. He treated the ark as the ark was to be treated. He recognized that the ark symbolized God's presence. He acknowledged the holiness of God. And in 2 Samuel, we hear about how God blessed Odom Edom. Verse 15, verse 1. David prepared a place for the ark to rest in Jerusalem. But this time, when David would seek to move the ark, he would consult God's word. He would not presume to do things the way he wanted it done. Instead, he would honor the word of God. Verse 13. It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out against us. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way. They didn't inquire of the Lord, even though the Lord had already showed them and taught them. They didn't inquire of the Lord. The Lord has shown you many things as well. But still, we make decisions that are not based upon the revealed will of God. We do not inquire of the Lord as to what we should do. But obedience to the word of God displays our love to God. And David truly displayed that he was a man after God's own heart by correcting his first mistake and now calling the Levites to carry the ark into Jerusalem. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. How do you know if you love the Lord? It's a very simple formula. You can know if you love the Lord if you're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness above all things. You can know if you love the Lord if you're seeking to do what he says to do. Oh, but think of God's mercy. Think of God's mercy to David. Think of God's mercy to the Levites. Think of God's mercy to Israel. And think of God's mercy to us. Because they in the Old Testament and we today, we suffer for our disobedience. But we have learned also to reverence God's holiness. And so when we are disciplined by the Lord, we do not lose heart. When he rebukes us, we don't fall to pieces because we know from God's word that he disciplines those he loves and he corrects those that he accepts as a son. Now, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. David is a good example of that. The Apostle Paul is a good example of that. The Apostle Peter is a good example of that. The failure of David, the sin of Uzzah, made the Levites, David, and all Israel aware of the importance of the holiness of God. You know, God has blessed us in Christ Jesus. The only one who could have been there when the oxen stumbled and the ark shifted, the only one who could have been there to place his hand on the ark to steady it without being killed would have been Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was without sin. He is without sin. And he is what the ark represented. God with us. We're getting ready to move into the Christmas season here soon. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And because of his life, death, and resurrection, we are blessed. There is a sense that we are still bringing the ark into Jerusalem when we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, we're seeking to put Christ at the center of our life. He is our prophet, priest, and king, the very thing that the ark represented. When we seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, we're seeking to honor Christ. We're seeking to do the things that he has called us to do. As Israel rejoiced in the ark being brought to Jerusalem, let us rejoice because Christ Jesus is bringing us into the new Jerusalem. He's bringing us to heaven where we will be in the presence of God. Let us honor the holiness of God in our worship. Let us honor the holiness of God in our words and actions to one another. Let us honor the holiness of God in our worship service. Because God is with us. He is in our presence. And he will bless. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for your mercies unto us. They are new.